to all the members of New Journey Church, to these musicians, to everybody who is watching, amen, online, to everybody, amen, in the house. We thank you so much. Amen. We take nothing for granted. We take your presence for granted. We don't take your presence for granted. We don't take, amen, anything for granted. Hallelujah. We honor you today, and we thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. St. Luke chapter number 18. Verses 35 through 39. We'll look and take our text from here. Amen. And for the next month, really, all this month, we're going to be looking at St. Luke 19. Today we'll look at 18, but for the rest of the month, we'll look at St. Luke 19. Amen. So we're going to kind of be doing a series and to a point, to a degree, kind of preparing ourselves for the resurrection of the Savior. St. Luke 9:51 starts the journey of Jesus Christ, his last journey to Jerusalem. And so we'll look at the two stories before his triumphant entry, a week before his resurrection. So we'll look at that on Palm Sunday, amen. We'll look at that. But the two stories prior to that, we'll look at the next 2 weeks. So Luke 19, we'll be spending some time in all this month, and then we'll go from there. So Luke 18, we'll start today. We'll finish it up on 19 next week and the week after, the week after that as well. Amen. Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. We'll look at that for a little while. Hallelujah. Basically, we'll wrap that up. St. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 39. When you have it, would you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good. And he is great, and he is greatly to be praised. We honor him. We love him. We adore him. Amen. On today. Thank you, Jesus. The scripture declares, as Jesus approached Jericho, the scripture says, a blind beggar was sitting by the side of the road. When he heard the noise of the crowd going past, he asked what was going on, what was happening. And they told him that it was Jesus of Nazareth passing by. So he began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they all told him that he should be quiet. They should leave, he should leave Jesus alone. And the people yelled and screamed and told him to be quiet. But the scripture says he cried out all the more. He cried out even louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. For a little while, we're going to look at 38 and 39. Amen. So we can articulate our thought for today. Amen. So he began shouting, amen, because he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. They told him he should be quiet, but the scripture says, although they tried to stop him and they tried to discourage him, he cried out even louder. He cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. For a little while, amen, we're going to use the fact that he cried out all the more to articulate our thought for today, which is, I'm not talking to you. Amen. I'm not talking to you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm not talking to you. This is another one you can go home and tell your friends and family. Would they ask you, would you learn at church today what the preacher talk about? Just make sure you tell them, I'm not talking to you. Amen. Give them something to say. Amen. Glory be to God. And they'll be like, what I do to you? Amen. It's an opportunity for you to go into the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell them all about what you learned at church today. Amen. But just make sure you start out with, I'm not talking to you. Amen. We join our text with Jesus traveling south again to Jerusalem. And again, we're going to be looking at that for the next few weeks. Amen. But he was on his way to Jerusalem, and this would end up being his last trip to Jerusalem. And he was traveling from north, basically in Israel, all the way down to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem on the map of Israel is one of the furthermost cities south in Israel. And so Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem preparing for his death. He prophesied about his death. He prophesied about what would happen to him. And he was on his way to it. And again, his final journey to Jerusalem began in St. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. And it goes all the way into how he traveled. He traveled first from Capernaum. Then he got to the edge of Judea. From there, he went to Jericho. And this is exactly where our text picks up, where Jesus entered into Jericho. And once he enters into Jericho, the scripture says, if you look at verse 31, he said he took his 12 disciples aside and he said, listen, we're going up to Jerusalem. And all things that were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. Now remember, Jesus is traveling south. He's going south on his way to Jerusalem. He's traveling from Capernaum all the way down to Jerusalem. He's traveling, amen, south. He's going downward, amen. And they were already in Jericho traveling south. And remember, note that Jerusalem is south. It's the most southern, one of the most southern cities in Israel. Yet Jesus told his disciples in verse 31 that he was going up to Jerusalem. How could Jesus be traveling up to Jerusalem when he was going down? If you look at the map, Jericho is north of Jerusalem. If you look at the map, Jericho, amen, is higher than Jerusalem. If you look at the map, according to the map, Jesus will be going down to Jerusalem, not up to Jerusalem. How could Jesus be going up to Jerusalem if he's in Jericho, amen, when Jerusalem is south of Jericho? Amen. How could that happen? This is because they were traveling to Jericho. When you get to Jericho, you have to climb up a mountain because Jericho is located 800 feet under sea level. So in order to get into Jericho, you first had to climb up the mountain before you could even get in there. So you basically had to go up. You had to go north, if you will, in order for you to get south. Amen. So in order for them to get south, in order for them to get down, they had to first go up. Amen. In other words, they first had to go up in order to get down. Amen. And I will submit to you today that the way up in the kingdom of heaven is down. Amen. The way up in the kingdom of heaven is down. We have to learn to go down in prayer. We have to learn to go down in fasting. We have to learn to go down denying our flesh. We have to learn to go down. The way up in the kingdom of heaven is down. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 lets us to know that if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, amen, he will exalt us in due time. Amen. And the way up in the kingdom is down. Amen. Before you can get elevated, you have to first go through the test. Before you can get promoted, you first have to go through the trials. Before you can get what God is taking you higher, you first have to go down. You have to learn before you can go up, you first have to go down. Amen. In our society, that don't sound attractive because most people just want what they want when they want it. Amen. They don't feel like waiting for it. They don't feel like going through. They don't feel like paying the dues. They don't feel like going down because they just want to be up. And then they always want to be up. They always want to be on top. But you have to realize in the kingdom, the way up is down. You have to humble yourself. Amen. Before you could ever be elevated. But the scripture says, amen, we have to learn to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. But in our world, in our society, being humble is a lost commodity. Being lowly is a lost commodity. In our world, being modest and meek is a lost commodity. When you're humble, you can be viewed as weak. When you're humble, you can be viewed as a pushover. When you're humble, you can be viewed as too nice and passive. Sometimes being humble can make you feel violated because people will take advantage. Sometimes being humble can make you feel cheated because people will take advantage. Sometimes being humble can make you feel wrong and victimized because people will take advantage. Sometimes being humble can make you feel mistreated because people can take advantage. You see, humility is viewed as softness in a world full of hardened hearts. Amen, I'm going to say that again. Humility is viewed as softness in a world full of hardened hearts. Meekness is often viewed as weakness in a world full of people trying to appear strong. You're really not that strong as you appear. You really don't have it all together as you pretend to be, have it all together. Amen. But all of a sudden, because somebody else, amen, is vulnerable, and all of a sudden, because somebody else is humble and they're meek, you all of a sudden want to call them weak because you're trying to appear strong. But nobody wants to feel taken advantage of. Nobody wants to appear spineless. Nobody wants to seem like a coward or look like a wimp. Nobody wants to be viewed as weak. But we must lose the idea that meekness and weakness are the same thing. Meekness is not synonymous with weakness. In fact, it takes great strength to be meek. Amen. Meekness takes great strength. It takes great strength to submit to yourself to the authority of God, especially when everybody else is doing whatever they want to do. Come on. It takes great strength to love people who have treated you unfairly. It takes great strength, amen, to be quiet, although you want to speak. Come on. It takes great strength to shut your mouth, although you normally will give them a piece of your mind. It takes great strength, amen, to take the high road when you could easily take revenge. It takes great strength to forgive those who have wronged you and treated you misbad and treated you bad. It takes great strength to be the bigger person, amen, and not to respond to every negative thing that comes your way. It takes great strength to be meek. It takes great strength to be modest. It takes great strength to be lowly. It takes great strength to be humble. It takes great strength when you humble yourself. Come on. It's not weakness. It takes great strength. It takes great
not weakness. Meekness takes great strength. We have to realize in order for us to be successful in the kingdom of God, we have to learn to humble ourselves. The way up in the kingdom is down.
So Jesus was traveling south on his way to Jerusalem, and the scripture says that he, as he approached Jericho, amen, he had to go up to Jericho, basically go down to Jerusalem. A blind beggar heard that Jesus, the crowd, and he asked what was going on, and they told him Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. The blind man, when he heard this, he cried out at once. He heard that Jesus was passing by. When he heard it, he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, this is significant because although this man was blind, he could still see who Jesus was. Come on, I'm going to say that again. Although this man was blind, he couldn't physically see, but he could still see, he still knew who Jesus was. These religious leaders had their sight. They knew, they could see everything with their eyes, but they were blinded to Jesus spiritually. You see, they could see physically with their eyes, but they were blinded to him spiritually. And most of us have our sight, but having sight can be a handicap if it hinders you to your faith. Come on, that's a good one. You should write that now. Come on, having your sight can be a handicap if it hinders you to your if it hinders you from your faith, if it keeps you from seeing Jesus for who he really is. You see, many of us in our world downplay the spiritual because we rely on the here and now. But we have to realize the spiritual world is much more real than the here and now. The spiritual world is much more real than the things that we see that we depend on that are in the natural. Stop allowing your sight to handicap your faith. Come on, stop allowing your sight to handicap your faith. Stop relying so much on your eyesight that it hinders you from your insight. Amen. Don't allow your eyesight to hinder you from your spiritual insight. You see, although this man was blind, although he couldn't see God physically with his eyes, he was able to see God from his heart. Amen. And you can't see God with your eyes. Amen. No man has seen God at any time. You must see him from your heart. Amen. No man has seen God at any time. You can't see him with your eyes. You must follow him from your heart. Give him your whole heart on today. Amen. Ask the Lord to open the eyes of your heart. Amen. So you can see him for who he really is. You see, this blind man knew who Jesus was. The fact that he called him the Son of David lets us to know that he knew the scriptures. He knew the word of the Lord. And although these religious leaders didn't recognize who Jesus was, this blind man knew who Jesus was. And he was not ashamed to call on the name of Jesus. And like this blind man, we cannot be ashamed to call on the name of Jesus. We need to learn to call on him. Amen. Jesus, my Savior. Call on him. Jesus, my Redeemer. Call on him. Jesus, my Keeper. Call on him. Jesus, my Strong Tower. Call on him. Jesus, my Waymaker. Call on him. Jesus, my Strength. Call on him. Jesus, my Deliverer. Jesus, my Helper. Jesus, my Comforter. Jesus, my Friend. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Call on him. Call on him. Wherever you are, amen, learn to call on the name of Jesus. Come on, I was, amen, driving down the street one time, amen, and I was hit a patch of ice, and my car started sliding, and I didn't know what I was going to do, but all I could do was call on the name of Jesus, amen, Jesus, amen, Jesus, Jesus, and he saved me, amen, out of the midst of what I was going through, amen. My car was totally messed up, amen, but I came out without a scratch on me, Jesus, the name of Jesus. I remember when I was first a father. Amen. My youngest, oldest son, about to be 7 in June. I can't believe it. Time is going so fast. Amen. And I remember when he was about a week or two old. And I remember, amen, my wife brought him because she was holding him in the living room. And she brought him in the bedroom, panicked. And she couldn't even talk. She said, "He's not breathing." And I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? Amen. I can't believe what you said. And I looked at his face and I realized he really wasn't breathing. They called 911. 911 transferred her to another place. She called another place and they transferred her again. And I said, "Hang up, we just gonna call him Jesus." Yeah. My son about to be 7 years old. I told you today, he's not dead, he's alive. Hallelujah. I said, "Hang up the phone. We don't need to call 911, we just need Jesus. We just need Jesus. Come on, 911 was playing games. I just need Jesus, he ain't gonna play no games with you." And he's here today, I believe, because I called on the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to call on the name of Jesus. Not nothing wrong with the doctors. Amen. Not nothing wrong. Amen. With 911 sometimes. Not nothing wrong with all these things that we have. But don't substitute those things for calling on the name
of Jesus. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. You see, at some point in your life, you must realize who Jesus is for yourself. Amen. You must realize who Jesus is for yourself. He is the Son of God, and he wants to have mercy on you. You can't rely on mama's testimony. Amen. You can't rely on daddy's testimony. You can't rely on the preacher's testimony. You can't rely on somebody else's experience and understanding. You have to call on him for yourself. You see, they say Jesus don't have grandchildren. He have children. Just because your mama got saved don't mean you automatically gonna be saved. Just because the pastor is your good friend don't mean that you're automatically going to get in. You can't ride on a pastor's coattail because I'm going in by myself. I need to be free. I need to be light. Get off of me. Get them for yourself. Come on. Amen. Amen. The one place you can be selfish is when you got called on the name of Jesus. You can be selfish as it relates to him because he loves you that much. He loves everybody just like it was just the one person in the world. Amen. I don't need you riding on my coattail because I'm going to kick you off. Get you home. You need to realize who Jesus is for yourself. I know your dad might be a great theologian. He might be a deacon in the church or a bishop or preacher. I don't care what your mom do in the church. I don't care what your grandma did. I don't care how long they served the Lord. You need to serve him for yourself. Call on the name of Jesus for yourself. He called on Jesus for himself. And he was blind physically, but he was not blind spiritually. Don't allow yourself, although you can see physically, don't allow yourself to be blind spiritually. Know who Jesus is and call on him for yourself. This blind man cried out to Jesus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And as he cried out, the people told him to be quiet. And this is exactly how life is, too. Amen. This is exactly how life operates. As soon as you cry out to God, here come the naysayers. As soon as you get serious about the Lord, here come people trying to quiet you. As soon as you cry out to the Lord, here come negative opinions. Well, I think this, and girl, if I was you, I wouldn't do that. And well, you know, when I was younger, and you know he died from that situation, and you know he died with that condition. Girl, you know what happened. Comes the devil trying to discourage you. Soon as you surrender your life, here come more hours at the job. Soon as you decide, amen, that you're going to get married, here come the negative statistics. Soon as you decide that you're going to move on from your past, here come, amen, your past knocking at your door. Soon as you decide to start your business, here come the insecurity. Soon as you decide to go to school, here come the statistics. Why don't you know 47% of college graduates really didn't graduate within the first 6 years. 47% of college students don't graduate. Amen. I know I want to go to school. I want to better myself. I want to get an education. Amen. If you will, I want to learn more about the things that I need to learn more about. And here come the people. Don't you know? Don't you know? And don't you know that even the people who do graduate, they find have a hard time finding the job in the area of their study. Don't you know it's a waste of your time? Don't even worry about it. Come on. Don't you know why you want to get married, brother? Amen. Don't you know that 50% of marriages end in divorce? Don't you know? She going to give you a nerves after a while. Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you know? Come on, preacher. Amen. Don't you know that 34% of startup businesses fail within the first 2 years? Don't you know? Why would you want to start a business in this economy? Don't you know that most people fail when they try? Soon as you decide to move forward, there's always somebody trying to hold you back. Soon as you decide to move forward, the statistics and the data, amen, and something will try to hold you back. Amen. But I admire this blind man because although they told him to be quiet, amen, I admire this blind man because although they tried to stop him and although they tried to discourage him, the scripture says he cried out all the more, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. As I get ready to close, this blind man, he cried out all the more. In other words, he said, whatever it takes, I want my breakthrough. Whatever it takes, I want my deliverance. Whatever it takes, I want my healing. Whatever it takes, I want my blessing. Whatever it takes, I'm going after my destiny. I'm not going to stop calling on the name of Jesus because you told me to. I'm not going to stop calling on the name of Jesus because your stats told me to. I'm not going to stop calling on the name of Jesus because my fear told me to. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Jesus. He cried out all the more. He was telling his daughters, I'm not talking to you. Come on, he was telling his haters, I'm not talking to you. He was telling the naysayers, I'm not talking to you. He was telling his past, I'm not talking to you. He was telling his fears, I'm not talking to you. He was telling his insecurities, I'm not talking to you. He was telling his handicap, I'm not talking to you. He was telling, amen, everybody around, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Jesus. You see, I'm talking to Jesus. I'm talking to Jesus. I'm talking to Jesus. I know you don't want to stop me. I know you don't understand what I'm doing, but I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Jesus.
Yes.
This is an A-B conversation, so you can see your way out. Oh, I'm talking to you anyway. Hallelujah. We need to learn to be like this blind man. Amen. Tell your naysayers, I'm not talking to you. Come on, be like this blind man and tell your fear, I'm not talking to you. Be like this blind man and tell your ex, I'm definitely not talking to you. Come on, somebody. Amen. Be like this blind man and tell your family, amen, I got so much to say, I'm not talking to you. And tell your friends, amen, I got all these negative words, I'm not talking to you. And tell your anxiety, I'm not talking to you. And tell your apprehension, I'm not talking to you. And tell your past, I'm not talking to you. And tell your insecurities, I'm not talking to you. And tell your obstacles, I'm not talking to you. And tell your statistics, I'm not talking to you. And tell your doubt, your haters, your fear, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Jesus. Come on, tell the devil, I'm talking to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Jesus. You see, they told him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
The singer Marette Brown Clark had a song that goes a little like this. The harder it gets, the harder I praise. The louder they get, the louder I praise. Amen. We must learn to cry out louder than our skeptics. Come on. Even though the skeptics are against us. We must learn to fight harder than our enemies. Even though our enemies are lined up against us. We must learn to outperform our opponents. Even though our opponents are stacked up against us. You see, there's nothing wrong with gathering the statistics. Amen. But don't let the statistics discourage you. There's nothing wrong with understanding the data, gathering the data. But don't let the data frighten you. And there's nothing wrong with understanding the facts. But don't let the facts dictate to you what your next move should be. You don't have to focus on the facts so much if you know the truth. Oh, that's a good one. You should write that down. That's real good right there. I said something very good. Come on, I'm saying a lot of good stuff. Great theologian, amen. I'm saying a lot of good stuff. Make sure you write it down. You don't have to concern yourself with the facts, with the data, with the statistics, if you know the truth. Jesus says in St. John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No man comes to the Father except they come through me. Jesus said, I am the truth. Amen. You can keep your facts because I know the truth. You can keep your data because I know the truth. Come on, you can keep your statistics because I know the truth. You can keep your skepticism to yourself because I know the truth. You can keep your negative opinions because I know the truth. You can keep your doubt, your fear, amen, because I know the truth. You can keep your lies because I know the truth. You can keep your opinions because I know the truth. The truth is, I'm not talking to you. Come on. The truth is, I'm talking to Jesus. Amen. You can keep your facts because I'm talking to Jesus. You can keep your data because I'm talking to Jesus. You can keep your statistics because I'm talking to Jesus. You can keep your doubt, your fear, your opinion, your everything else that you bring in my way all to yourself. Why? Because I wasn't talking to you anyway. I was talking to Jesus. The truth is, I'm talking to Jesus. Amen. The one who knows me best. The truth is, I'm talking to Jesus, the one who loves me. The truth is, I'm talking to Jesus, the one who knew me. The scripture says, before the world began, before I was in my mother's womb, he knew me. Amen. The truth is, I'm talking to Jesus, the one who died for me while I was still in my sins. The truth is, I'm talking to Jesus, the one who saved me. Amen. The truth is, I'm talking to Jesus, the one that raised up out of the grave on the third day. The truth is, I'm talking to Jesus, the one that forgave me. The truth is, I'm talking to Jesus, the one that redeemed me. The truth is, I'm talking to Jesus, amen, the author and the finisher of my faith. You see, the truth says, amen, he made me the head and not the tail. You see, the truth says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. You see, the truth says, amen, thoughts of good and not of evil. You see, the truth says, I can be a lender and never a borrower. You see, the truth says, amen, he has made me fearfully and wonderfully in his image. You see, the truth says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You see, the truth says that he will never leave me or forsake me. You see, the truth
Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You can keep your data. I prefer the truth. You can keep your facts. I prefer the truth. You can keep your statistics. I prefer the truth. You can keep your information. I prefer the truth. You can keep your negative thoughts because I prefer the truth. You can keep your opinions because I prefer the truth. I prefer Jesus. Jesus, the way. Jesus, the truth. Jesus, the life. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. I prefer the truth. Amen. I don't know what you're talking about because I wasn't talking to you anyway. I prefer the truth.
You see, many of us are talking to the wrong people.
Amen.
Listening to the wrong things. Even listening to yourself.
Yep.
I was taught, don't listen to yourself, talk to yourself. Amen. Oh, that's good, man. Listen, I'm saying a lot of good stuff. I'm not even charging you for it. Don't listen to yourself, talk to yourself. Don't just listen to all the negative thoughts, even that you tell yourself. I'm not talking to yourself. Look in the mirror and say, I'm not talking to you.
Okay.
I'm talking to Jesus. Your husband who ain't here might look at you crazy. It's okay. Tell him you ain't talking to him either. Come on, somebody. Amen. I don't care. I'm not talking to nobody who's negative. I'm not talking no more to nobody, amen, who don't understand what God put in my spirit. I'm not talking to you. You might not understand the vision, the journey that he had me on, but I'm not talking to you. It's not for you to understand.
Amen.
It's okay. I'm okay. We have to learn to talk to ourselves sometimes and tell ourselves, I'm not talking to you either. I'm talking to Jesus. We can overcome this. We can overcome this. We can override this. I know I made mistake after mistake, and I know I don't seem worthy, but we can override this. I'm not talking to you, self. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Jesus. We need to learn to follow and talk to Jesus, amen, above everybody else, and stop listening to the wrong people. Many of us believe the wrong things. We prefer to walk by sight, which handicaps us to our faith. We prefer to believe in the negative report than to believe in God's word. We prefer to trust in our horoscope than to trust in the Lord. You see, you may be faced with facts. You may be faced with statistics, and you may be faced with data. But don't let your facts blind you to the truth. Don't let your data blind you to the truth. Don't let your statistics blind you to the truth. Don't mistake facts for the truth. They're two different things. Don't mistake facts for truth. They're two different things. We have to realize, amen, the truth, the facts, I'm sorry, may be true for some people. Amen. Amen. Facts seem like reality sometimes. And because we have the facts may be true to some people. Amen. We may have data to back it up and experience to back it up. Amen. The facts. We may be able to tell you documented times of this happening and documented times of that happening and documented times of this happening because of this. And I can tell you all these things and they may be true to some people. But the reality is, I'm not talking to those people. That reality is, I'm talking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And to everybody else, I don't mean no harm, no disrespect, but I'm not talking to you. Come on, somebody, put your hands together. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. The truth is, I'm talking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm talking to the one who knows me, the one who created me, the one, amen, who knows me best. And if you're here today and you don't know who Jesus is, you never heard the gospel message of the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You never knew that sin was anytime you go contrary to the word of God. You see, you think because you got it all together, you think because you don't murder nobody, you don't lie, you don't steal, you're a good person that you don't need Jesus. That's the devil is a lie. All of us have sinned and all of us have fallen short. Even the pastor, even the preacher, amen, need Jesus. We all need him. There's no other way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get to me except you go through Jesus. And so it's important for us to realize, no matter how good you think you are, anytime you go contrary to the word of God, you're in sin and you need Jesus. And that seems like a hopeless story, but Jesus said, I'll be the one to take the penalty for all that they're saying that they brought on themselves. All the things that they did wrong, all the results of the sin that they created, I'm going to take the penalty for it. I'm going to get on that old red cross and die. He died. With his arms outstretched, I believe his arms outstretched represented the bridge back to God.
got a right relationship with God. And that will be a sad story by itself, because he died for the things you did wrong. But you have to realize that the story didn't end there. He got up out of the grave. He rose on the third day. And he's alive right now forevermore. Still praying for you. Still serving you. Still waiting on you to get it right. And to surrender. You're all here today. You never heard the story of the death of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Won't you come and let us pray? If you're here today, you know the story of the gospel. And you know him as your Savior, but you're not living for him as your Lord. You go where you want to go. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. Live how you want to live. It's time to surrender today. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Make Jesus the one that you surrender to. Make Jesus the one where you say, I'm going to go where you say go. I'm going to do what you say do. I'm going to live how you say live. I surrender today. Repentance is all about surrender. You have to surrender your way so you can obtain what God has for you. If you're here today, you're in a backslidden condition because you have not made Jesus the Lord. You made him the Savior, but not the Lord. Won't you come? If you're here today, you desire prayer for any reason whatsoever. Now is the time to come.